Chapter 4, Family Business. In this chapter, I talk about family, forgiveness, fairness, and the best decision you'll ever make. I write books for many different reasons, including the financial incentive, the extra exposure it offers, and okay, yes, my ego. But one of my driving forces when I get the idea for a book is, can I actually help somebody? Could it change the course of somebody's life? Crush It did that. 7 years after its publication, I still get hundreds of emails from people telling me how the book inspired them to follow their dreams. I hope this chapter could be that powerful for anyone in a family business or considering going into one. I've run two family businesses. The first was with my father, and the second was with my brother. They're as complicated as business gets. One of my favorite cautionary pieces of advice is that one of the best ways to go out of business is to make an emotional decision, to get romantic about how you make your money, or to let your emotions get in the way of the task at hand. We'll get to that in chapter 10. I say that, and yet I know there is nothing more emotional than dealing with the conflicts that arise within a family business. There isn't a week that I don't get emails asking, how do I get my dad to let me try something new? Or how do I convince my mom to join the 21st century? Believe me, I've been there and I feel you. I try to tread lightly because every situation has its own dynamics and variables. But there's one thing I can say that I hope is universally helpful no matter what kind of situation you're in. If you and your family love each other more than you love the business, you will succeed. My dad and I love Wine Library almost more than we love breathing, but we loved each other, just a hair enough more than the business, and that's really why we were able to make it happen. So when I read that, it was kind of emotional to me because it's just really the truth. It's really the part that most matters. And by the way, do not judge somebody who loves their business more than their family. It's bad. I understand. And if you're the son or the daughter and you know that your mom or dad likes the business or loves the business more than you, it might be very difficult to swallow, but it is a truth and something that needs to be reconciled with at times. It's just the way it is. As somebody who has two businesses, they are absolutely my children just as much as Misha and Xander. Family businesses are complicated. For example, I know no other way of relating to my father. I mean, it's just the relationship we've always had. But there was a time when we were growing up that my brother and I had a more carefree dynamic than we do now, now that we're in the trenches of a business together. At one point, we had to start scheduling non-work-related meetings to rekindle our brotherly relationship because every time we hung out, we were talking about the negatives or the problems we had to solve. Most people advise families not to risk family harmony by going into business together. I totally disagree. I say if you have the opportunity, go in head first. I'm passionate about this topic and have spoken to a lot of people about it over the years. And even the 5 to 7 dozen I've met whose foray into business caused their families to explode like an atomic bomb to the point where they weren't even speaking to each other, sometimes for years, even they eventually admitted that they were grateful for the time they had gotten to spend day in and day out with those family members. For that reason, I feel comfortable telling you that if you're debating whether to take that leap, it's a good decision and you will not regret it. I can honestly say that there is nothing I'm more grateful for in my professional life than the opportunity I had to work with two of the people that I love the most in the world. It hasn't always been easy. It has taken a ton of emotional equity and enormous amounts of empathy, self-awareness, and compassion, but it also has honed my communication skills in a way that I can't even quantify. Who needs Stanford or Wharton when you've got a family business to school you? Despite the days I cried in my dad's office, and boy, let me tell you, there's a lot. Despite those hard conversations that I've had with my brother, I think I'm the luckiest man alive to have what I have with them.
Hi, my name is Leslie Blodgett, and I am the creator and founder of Bare Minerals, and I am so excited to be here to talk with you today. Will you force your children to partake in the business like your dad? Will you be disappointed if they don't want to?
I think the number one job of a parent is to put their kid in a position to succeed after loving them and caring and all that stuff, which I'm not skipping over. I just know the context of what we're talking about here. And so if my kids do not want to become entrepreneurs or come into the family business, I will be phenomenally happy. I will be extremely happy as long as they are following something that makes them happy, that they're passionate about. I do not want to be the cliche dad that tries to force their kids to be exactly like them. Let me get really dark with all of you right now. I secretly don't want them to go into business just in case they end up being bigger and better businessmen than me or women, and then I'd be really competitive and get all weird, and then I'd have to come out of retirement and hustle when I'm 90. The whole thing would be a real mess. So I'm very excited if my kids decide they want to go save the world because they felt guilty that they grew up with money, or if they want to just do great things because they're great kids, or if they want to be an artist, or whatever they want to be, I'm going to support that 1,000%. As a matter of fact, my parents did that. My dad and mom didn't force me to go into wine library. They just knew I was a crap student, and they knew that I was a great merchant and salesperson, and it made sense. My sister didn't go into the business. My brother didn't go into the business. And so I was very fortunate that I wasn't forced into a situation. Maybe I was coddled. Maybe I was innuendoed. But I have no interest in doing anything other than reacting to my children's passions and skills.
How important is it for your significant other to share your entrepreneurial vision? What was Lizzie's impact on building your empire?
When I was 16 years old, and me and my mom would talk about a woman's impact on a man's career, my mom would always end with, "I'm not raising a chauvinist." I couldn't comprehend as a young man how in the world my wife, or even how my mom, was massively impacting what was happening at Wine Library, or at that time, Shoppers Discount Liquors. Today, as a 40-year-old man, not boy, I've come to realize the impact that my wife Lizzie has had on my career is far greater than I realized, because though she's not at Wine Library or at VaynerMedia or sitting here reading this book, what she's done is she's allowed me the freedom and the air cover to do the things that I want, the support, the knowing when not to ask questions, knowing when to ask questions, the peace of mind in the other most important part of my life that allows me to freely and with no pressure navigate my business world, my wife's support and ability to know exactly who I am and to know it from the beginning of our relationship has been a bedrock of my success. There's no coincidence that my career took off even more aggressively after I married this girl. And so I am humbled from 24 years ago, recognizing I don't know how one can be successful in business without support at home. And things not right at home with the kids, with us, would cripple me and not allow me to do my thing.
How did you deal with the specific challenges of working in a family business?
Carefully. My answer is the same answer I have to most problems, which was communication. My dad grew up in the former Soviet Union, grew up as an only child. My grandma was very hardcore, conservative kind of lady. And so my dad is not the greatest communicator. He keeps things to himself. The way I navigated was to force my dad into conversations, because by talking things out, we were able to get through conflict. And so my answer was communication. I mean, that really trumps any tactical thing of debating on where to put the beer cooler or me and AJ deciding what offerings we should have at VaynerMedia. It's grounded in comms. Communicating between people matters. Deploying empathy and recognizing and letting them hear that I recognize their point of view or what their issues are. However, this is where I'm coming from. So good old-fashioned communication, I think, is the bedrock of a family business.
Has any business challenge ever tested your relationship with AJ? And if so, how did you work through it?
You know, the definition of testing it is probably interesting here. Has there been things that have allowed me to go home and be upset and concerned? For sure. Has there been anything that has even remotely come close to me saying this is not right? Absolutely not. Though that has happened with my father. So I definitely understand the question. And I would tell you that there's a lot of different things here. The challenges that have tested AJ and I come from a lot of different angles, including that we're different. I definitely think that AJ is one of the most efficient businessmen that I've ever met. He's very black and white, you know, crossing T's, I's. I, on the other hand, am very improv, emotional, go with my intuition. And so I struggled with already being a successful businessman and having these intuitions and AJ pushing back on me. And I was like, who do you think you are? Those kind of feelings, though I don't communicate that way. I'm not really a fighter. But those were the things I was feeling. He, on the other hand, would be in a position where he said, look, you've asked me to be your partner because I bring you these values, so freaking value them, right? And so the answer is sure. Here's something interesting. We've evolved our relationship. We're now 6 years in. The first 2 years, solid banter, good friction. The middle 2 years, a lot better. These last 2 years, we're struggling to fight. We've found our cadence. We've found our style with each other. But what's best for me, and we both did this well. And I think AJ grew up watching my dad and I working together, and that probably really impacted him. What we got really good at, even in those first 2 years, was making sure every conversation, the biggest of fights, even when you really wanted to throw down and fight, and I mean, like, there's real energy in the room, we would always end it with, I love you. Maybe it wasn't like, I love you. Maybe it was like, I love you. But we always ended with, I love you. And that was a good kind of thing to end these things with, because it just reset everything of like, cool, we could debate this all day long, but at the end of the day, we're bros, we're family forever, long after VaynerMedia, and let's always ground every discussion in that. So surely tested, never really tested, but you shouldn't be scared to be tested, because it leads to honest and real conversations.
What do you think AJ has learned from you in business?
Ah, man, I wish this whole book was that. Boy, do I like when people say nice things about me. By the way, on YouTube and Facebook, I'm going to give a plug here, a little commercial time. Make sure you watch it. On the show, AJ actually answered this, and I was very humbled and proud by his answers. I think the first one was perspective, right? Recognizing that this was a marathon. He said, you know, you're going to take the good with the bad. I'm very good at adversity. I'm a wartime general, everyone. And what that means is I like when business is bad. I think right now we're in peacetime. The economy's good, and there's a lot of peacetime generals, but as soon as like the fight goes down, they throw their hands in the air. So I think he learned that from me, and that was happy to hear. North Star, the North Star. He mentioned on focusing on what's important, the big picture. We kind of call that the North Star. If you're reminded by what you're trying to achieve, whether grow the business, change the industry, it helps you become much better tactfully day in and day out. And then finally, and this one I really think I taught him, and this is the one from afar, I think the other two he would have had, but this is the one I think I really absolutely imposed on him. I willed him to this place, which was personalization and interaction with your actual employees. Building a team by actually doing the things that a leader needs to do to build a team, which is treating everybody as an individual, really getting to know their wants and needs and their personal skills. Realizing that HR isn't a division in your company, but it needs to be the thing that sits at the highest of levels and is something that you care about, because ultimately a loyal team is usually a winning team.
If your kids want to join the family business, will you start them at the bottom?
I started from the bottom. When I got involved in my dad's liquor store business, I was getting paid $2 an hour to bag ice for 14 hours a day in a basement with employees that hated my dad because he was a tough boss from Russia. And that was as bottom as you get. I was also making $3,000 a weekend selling baseball cards when I wasn't at the store. So you can imagine it was the real bottom. If my kids decided to get involved in my businesses, it's going to be a little bit different. The size of the businesses I'm running today, as long as nothing horrible happens, are going to be very big businesses. They're going to be very, very different. I don't like when companies and entrepreneurs and moguls or empires start their kids from the bottom as show, you know, like when it's tactful. So to answer your question, even though I started from the bottom, I don't like when people pander to a narrative. I don't want to make my 40,000 employees feel good, or I'm a real meritocracy guy by making my kids start in the mailroom or from the bottom. I actually don't know the answer to this. I really don't. The fact of the matter is I respect learning craft. So if my kids could actually do work at 22 or 18, because they didn't go to college, and we covered that, Well, then I would let them start wherever appropriately they would be. I definitely wouldn't let them do things that they weren't capable of doing, because I think that's how you break a business. I think that's how you lose senior leadership's confidence in you. But at the same token, I wouldn't pander to the politically correct narrative of having them start at something that they are more than capable of doing. And so I guess that, thinking of elevators, you know, if the top floor is 30 and the basement's zero, if they're appropriately on the seventh floor, let them start there. And that's what I would actually do.
I'm in sales for a third-generation residential construction company and getting my at-bat. How do I increase business but keep old minds happy?
So I was very, very lucky, and I'm very prepared to answer this question, because my father, you, Sasha Vaynerchuk, if you're listening, which I know you're not because you're that way, but my dad, at 22 years old, gave me complete control of the company. Now, I'd been working there since 14 every weekend and holiday, and so you'd be stunned by what kind of body of work I had in the business by the time I was 22, but still, he was 44 years old. I'm 40. I just gotta take a second. He was 44 years old when he gave me the keys to the castle to make decisions about our lives. And so I'm indebted to that. And so I had to do things in a certain way, meaning I knew there was 4 to 5 kind of intriguing things that my dad cared about that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I knew that there was 800 other things that I could tackle before getting on those 5 hot button issues. So I would tell you, my friend, if you know what grandpa or grandma or dad and mom really care about, what gets their emotions going, stay away from those things. There's probably 800 other things that you could be doing to increase sales now. Use that to build up the business, which then will give you leverage to attack those other 5 things. And that's what I did. I built up leverage by growing the business so quickly that it gave me the audacity, the air cover, and really the permission to start attacking some of the issues that I knew my dad wasn't going to give up so easily. But I did that out of respect and love, which should absolutely be deployed when you're lucky enough to be born into a third generation company.